When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Want a $1,000 weight loss medication for $50? It all starts with Rose free GLP-1 insurance check. Just upload your insurance card to see if you have coverage, then relax. Over 200,000 people have qualified for a $50 copay through Roe. Go to roe.co/health. Half of covered patients have a $50 per month copay or less for medication, plus $145 monthly Roe membership fee. Deductible costs may apply and final cost varies by insurance plan. For safety information about GLP-1 medications, including boxed warning, go to roe.co/safety, Rx only.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cuts in on the right foot. Launches a golazo!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We're also live on YouTube. If you're listening as a podcast, it's all good. Go ahead and buckle up because it is going to be nonstop from here till July 19th when we have a world champion declared. Hopefully no crazy controversy along the way, but look, it's the World Cup, it's soccer, the world is coming to the United States, Mexico, and Canada. I'm expecting chaos. I don't know about Madison Cruz. I'm assuming that she is expecting chaos as well.
All the chaos. There's never going to be, I think, a moment without chaos. And if there isn't chaos, I'm going to be a little upset about it. But I think there will be. I don't think we're not going to not get chaos. But I mean, that's what we want, right?
There will be plenty of chaos. And yes, we want chaos to a point. We want good soccer. We want stories to tell. We want to see the U.S. men's national team do well. I want to see the Argentine national team do well. I would like to see them go very deep in this tournament. I did break out the Argentina jersey tonight, the 1986 vintage. It's a big deal. Like, it's really hit me these last couple of days. And the U.S. game yesterday was a big part of it. We're going to talk about that here in the first segment. But it's really started to hit me, I guess, probably last week when I had a chance to go to training at the Arthur M. Blank U.S. Soccer National Training Center. And right after the team was actually announced, it had been leaked for a few days. But after it was announced and the players spoke about it and what it meant and how they told their family members and how they found out, and watching Teixe out of Argentina treat Lionel Messi getting off of a private plane like he was the Pope or something. I mean, it's all really starting to feel big now.
I think it hit me. It honestly might have hit me yesterday too. Even today a little bit as well. I think I was fortunate enough that I was on vacation for a couple of days leading in, and I'm going to Chicago in the next couple of days. Like, it is for work, but it's also like it's a mix of both. We're doing a little bit of both.
Well, tell them what the work is.
Well, the work is obviously covering the U.S. men's national team in the send-off match as they will face Germany before they officially head to the World Cup and they go to California to get ready for it. So I'm excited for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of coverage on 92.9 as well as on the SDH network too. So make sure you're listening and you're following and all the above. And you can follow me as well, Madison Crew 7. I'm going to have a whole bunch of different things for it. But, you know, so like that's, you know, a different type of thing. But I think especially in the lead up to it, you know, seeing like the 11 days out and everything else, it's like, oh, wow, like this is happening. Like, this is weird. Like it's exciting. It's very weird, though. Like, it's like, I don't know if I still can actually believe that, like, in literally 11 days, we're going to be having our first couple matches here.
I feel like I was kind of there last week a little bit of, wow, this is crazy. This is like this. I knew it was coming, but this still feels like brand new and strange. And now it kind of starting to really feel real now that we've got a potential lineup to talk about with the U.S. men's national team after what we saw yesterday, a really good win over Senegal. We've got teams arriving in the United States, in Mexico and Canada. I believe South Africa actually arrived, and we'll talk about that probably in the stoppage time portion of the show in the second hour. But a lot of just crazy stories about travel, about rosters, about some late injuries. Marcelo Flores out of the tournament now for Canada, suffered an ACL injury in the CONCA Champions final over the weekend. There's just so much that now it's like, okay, now it's buckle up because there's going to be new stories to cover pretty much on a nonstop basis between now and we sign off at 11 o'clock on July 19th after the World Cup final. But let's start with the U.S. men's national team. It was a very good win against Senegal, a very good team yesterday, a great start to the match. I thought the first 20 minutes was as good as the U.S. has looked. And Christian Pulisic was at the heart of that. Alex Freeman was at the heart of that. Sergiño Dest was at the heart of that. And the formation that I feel like you and I talked about this a lot back in March, there was a lot of confusion and unnecessary confusion from what people were saying about the formation. And I think some of it came from Mauricio Pochettino and maybe a little bit of a language barrier in explaining this, because we saw what we saw at the end of 2025 playing in a 3-4-2-1 and the team looked good. And it felt like in the games in March, maybe Pochettino wanted to find out, can I try something different? Can I find a half and half? Can I find a hybrid? It didn't look as good. It went back to more of a much more true 3-4-2-1 yesterday, and it looked much better. And a player that I know you're very high on, a player that I'm very high on, a player we've talked about a lot, Alex Freeman, I thought was a big part of making the structure work.
Alex Freeman, to me, is a player that, you know, when we talk about the depth and you talk about the roster, you look at Jedi, you look at Dest in that way. Alex Freeman is just that he's – I say Swiss Army knife, but not even that. I mean, he can just, like – what he brings in the elevation of it, especially when you play it in that three back, he gives you so much more of that ability to stretch, especially on that right side and being able to open a lot of those avenues up. I mean, you saw it in the second goal. I mean, and what he was able to do there, he was able to step up and he was able to pick out Pepe, and it was a brilliant ball. And then Pepe's able to find Christian Pulisic. I think Alex Freeman is one of those sneaky players that maybe people initially didn't think would maybe be in the starting lineup. But I think now, honestly, with the performance we saw, and especially if we see him again starting or playing again in that matchup against Germany, I think to me it's a no-brainer to start him there in that position for what he gives you. And also with the depth and with everything, especially in stretching on that right side, that's what he gives you. And I it all but confirmed to me, you know what, he's really pushing to make a case for himself to be in that starting 11.
He's a must for me because he allows Sergiño Dest to be more dangerous. He's able to cover that ground and be the hybrid that maybe, again, Pochettino was looking for in March of, can I have a midfielder drop and give me five when I need five? But I'd really like four players to get higher up the field. You didn't see Dest in March due to injuries. Freeman had just kind of gotten into Villarreal, and it took him a while to get settled in, coming in off of the offseason for Major League Soccer, and he started playing regularly towards the end. I think now, if you're going to play what we think, and this is, look, there's a couple caveats to this. Chris Richards' health is going to be a huge talking point between now and game one. The rosters are into FIFA. They can be changed due to injury up to 24 hours before the first match. Chris Richards is one that you want to see at least be able to train with the team and get onto the bench Saturday in Chicago against Germany. He's a huge part of this. He'd be the center of your three center backs. I think Freeman is one. I think the left-sided center back is going to be Tim Ream more often than not. He's wearing the captain's armband. I think he is that guy. Miles Robinson didn't help himself yesterday. I thought Mark McKenzie was pretty good. I'm okay with him if needed. Austin Trusty was fine. He didn't really stand out to me. Your wingbacks slash fullbacks, Anthony Robinson, Serginho Dest, no question about it. Those are your guys. Tyler Adams as your six, no question about it. He's your guy. Weston McKennie, somewhere on the field in the starting lineup, he's your guy. I don't know where yet, but he's going to be somewhere. Christian Pulisic, obviously going to be in the starting lineup somewhere. The number nine position, I would have said was Folair and Balogun, no matter what. Ricardo Pepi knocking on that door, maybe not necessarily. Oh, Balogun did score as well. Maybe not necessarily always Folair and Balogun, but I think more often than not, Folair and Balogun. I thought Gio Reyna was fine yesterday. I think some people were critical of him. And look, I put my hand up. I said when the roster was leaked that I thought Diego Luna should have been there instead of Gio Reyna. But Gio Reyna did the job yesterday. He was fine. Like, he played well. He switched the point of attack well. He wasn't spectacular, but he was exactly what the team needed in that position. He did well. I think the biggest conversation outside of Chris Richards for the U.S. men's national team right now is the midfield, and I call it four. It's a box. It's two behind two in this 3-4-2-1 setup. Christian Pulisic is one of the attacking midfielders. Tyler Adams is one of the defensive midfielders. Weston McKennie is one of the midfielders. He could be either. Who's going to be the other one to start? Is it Sebastian Berhalter? Is it Gio Reyna? Is it Alex Zendejas? Is it Malik Tillman? I don't know yet. I think it's that group that's competing. Christian Roldan is in the conversation. I don't think he's a starter in this group. You know, you could play Tim Weah in one of those positions, but I think he's more suited to being one of the wide players in this shape, or potentially the nine, even if you wanted to go that route. I think it's between Berhalter, Reyna, Zendejas, and Tillman. And I don't really know how I feel about it after game one.
I don't either. I was in the same boat with you, putting my hand up too, especially when the conversation about Gio Reyna came up. I thought he was good. I thought he was good in the game.
He switched the play really well, I thought.
He did. I thought that he opened up a lot of those moments where you needed it. And I think I want to see more, I think, from Gio. And I think hopefully we get to see that against Germany. And I that's what I'm looking for. I just want to see more from Gio, because I do believe that if Gio Reyna can get going, he can be a real difference maker, I think, for this team. I really do. We just need to see it. We have to see it. And for me, though, honestly, I've said it, I think, since March, I really like Malik Tillman in that role. I think what he gives you, especially with that core up front, I think especially with Christian Pulisic and with Weston McKennie and how they bounce off of each other, I really like the way that that partnership works between all of them. And then you add in Balogun as well, or Pepi, whichever one you put in that position, and how that rolls. I think Malik Tillman, I think, just gives you a lot more option, I think, there. And I really like, I like Tillman in that role. But again, I think you have a lot of players competing for that. And hey, you know what? We'll take that. If that's what we're bargaining for, to see where we can fit. I mean, the biggest thing for me, and I didn't think it would be, I would have thought, especially after March and everything, defensively, we're not, defensively, we're really solid, especially now. To me, now the conversation's completely switched, I think, to, you know, what is it going to look like in the back? And what is it going to look like, especially in those parts for the U.S. men's national team? And I think it's something I'm curious to see, especially, you know, in conversations at the training ground this week and then heading into Chicago, what that looks like. But yeah, I mean, I will say, though, I like Malik Tillman in that role. I think he fits it really nicely, and I want to see more of him.
It's very easy to forget that Belgium and Portugal, the teams that beat the U.S. in March, are in the next tier ahead of the U.S. Senegal is right there in the same tier with the U.S., and winning yesterday is a statement, in my opinion. Germany is a tier up. I think they're a little bit, at least what we've seen coming into the tournament, a little bit behind where Belgium and Portugal are, but not by much. This is going to be a big test on Saturday. One thing before we go to break, I do think where you want McKinney is going to factor into who you choose. It might not be straight up, these are my four best. It might be, I want McKinney higher, so that means I'm going to go Berhalter, or I'm comfortable McKinney being deeper and I'm going to go Tillman. I think where you want McKinney is going to be part of who wins that battle. But we'll talk more U.S. men's national team as we go tonight. That will come back up in the stoppage time portion of the show in hour number two. But coming up next on AST, the Champions League final, the last major club match of the season, and PSG defended their title. We're going to talk about how they did it and why it's so important that they did on the other side of the break on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app and on YouTube, where you can watch AST all summer long, every night, the entire show on YouTube, the entire show available as a podcast. Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app, you'll hear us live until 11 p.m. Now, our producer, Dom, back at the studio, making sure we're on the air. I guess we're going to give her the title showrunner. You know, when you think about shows that are being produced on TV, you have a producer and then you have a showrunner who's helping us stay on point. I've already made our showrunner for the summer, Sophia Cupertino, angry because I forgot to talk about What's on Tap, which is brought to you by our friends at Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. We've got a ton more talk of the U.S. men's national team in stoppage time. We'll go deeper into what we liked, what we didn't like against Senegal. But I think the most important thing is just what this week is like for the national team. What's on Tap for the USMNT is back on the training pitch tomorrow in Fayetteville, also Wednesday, also Thursday, before traveling, I think late Thursday. They'll train in the Chicago area on Friday, match day minus one, press conferences on Friday, and then the game at Soldier Field on Saturday. It's a kickoff just after 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. You will be there at Soldier Field, Madison Cruz. We will be at Nofo Bruco in Gainesville, myself and John Nelson, from 12 to 2:15 with an AST special in Atlanta Soccer Today special to get you ready for that game. And you'll be able to listen to that game on 92.9 The Game with friends of the show, Callum Williams and U.S. men's national team legend Kobe Jones on the call. It was fun listening to them yesterday.
That's a great lineup. All right. Okay.
Yes. All the things. That's what's on tap.
I love it. We can't make Sophia mad. So
no.
We got to put it in.
No. It's her birthday tomorrow. So we can't make her mad the last hour and a half of her existence before her birthday. We can't do that. We also, I will give you another what's on tap for the show. You will hear from another U.S. men's national team legend, Jozy Altidore, who I had a chance to sit down with on Friday. We talked a lot about the U.S. men's national team, about the World Cup. We talked about the rivalry with Toronto FC and Atlanta United during his playing days. That was fun. I did tell him I have to play the clip for him where I was screaming and almost broke the headset. What are you doing, Jozy Altidore, when he stole the throw-in? When I mentioned it, he immediately knew what I was talking about and what I was going to get to. So that was very funny. Full conversation with Jozy about what he's doing in the Atlanta area. You'll be able to hear the whole conversation on the Off the Woodwork podcast. You'll be able to watch the whole conversation on the SDH Network YouTube, and you'll be able to hear some of that in hour number two of AST on YouTube. Okay, work done. Sophia, you can stop yelling at me. Let's move on to the Champions League, because we did end with two continental finals on Saturday in terms of the big club matches of the year. We saw the CONCACAF Champions game at the end of the night, the CONCACAF Champions Cup, went to penalties. Toluca and Tigres always go to penalties. It went to penalties. Toluca won that. But in Europe, the big game, the one everybody was waiting for, Arsenal and PSG, the clash of styles. Arsenal, super defensive, the best defensive team on the continent. PSG, the most explosive team on the continent. And I think the worst thing that could have happened for the neutral happened. Arsenal scored early because they scored, and then they tried to find every lock they could find to put on the door in front of their goal. And they did really well for a long period of time. But PSG was the better team. I thought the more expansive team. They finally found an equalizer. They could not find a go-ahead. This one goes to penalties as well, and PSG ends up going back-to-back in the UEFA Champions League.
It's the difference in style that it was so interesting, especially going into it, because you just knew, knowing Arsenal, the way that they've played and the way that Arteta's had them play, I think, throughout the entire Premier League season, and even heading in now, you knew they were going to be a team that was going to do this. And, you know, especially when they went up in the 6th minute, I tuned in a little bit after that. But as soon as I saw that notification came in, I said, oh, all right. So it is sit and bunker the rest of the time.
It's going to be one of those.
That's it. And then, but PSG, I mean, it's difficult when you're playing against a team that does that. And especially a team that is so defensively sound as Arsenal. I was like, okay, how does PSG break through? But again, PSG, the explosiveness they have on their roster, they could do it. And they did. They were able to find it, especially with the penalty. And as the match continued on, I agree with you. I thought PSG was the better team. And, you know, especially you heard a lot of the stuff about Arsenal and, like, breaking down PSG. But that's what happens when you go up against a team that is very defensive-minded in that way. Mm-hmm. When they get a goal in the 6th minute, they're going to bunker down. And yeah, it's going to tire out a team that wants to have the ball, that wants to play, that wants to connect and find moments in the attack. And PSG was. Defensively, Arsenal was great. They were really good. And it was literally a just butting heads. It was a big chess game. No one could find anything. So it goes to penalties. And it's one where, especially in a final like that, you don't want it to go to penalties. And we talk about all the time, especially when it comes to penalties and how a match is played out. It's anybody's game, and ultimately PSG were able to come out on top of it. And ultimately, I do think that PSG were the deserving winners, though. I mean, yeah, I like the way that PSG plays. I love Luis Enrique and what he's done over at PSG. I think the brand of football they want to play is the brand of football that I love to watch. So I was very happy with the end result. My uncle was not very happy about it, though. He is an Arsenal fan, but he was not too happy about the result.
I feel for the Arsenal fans. I want to give Mikel Arteta his flowers because I think a lot of people are looking at the way that Arsenal has played. And I wouldn't even say the whole season. I feel like it's been more of the second half. And I feel like it's been out of necessity, and that's a credit to Arteta and figuring out the best way for this group of players to win. His attack has not fully hit like they expected when they added Viktor Gyökeres. It just hasn't been consistent. He's had a ton of injuries to deal with as well. And the team has gotten more defensive as they've gone. And I think it's been out of necessity. I don't think it is what he would choose. I think back to the first portion of the year where I think it was around Thanksgiving, I said they were the best team in Europe. I think they were the best team in Europe through probably January, although it started to get a little more up and down. They were really good for a long period of time. They were in the running for a quadruple in England, which has never happened. They won one title. There are some who like to live in the negative world who would look at that as, oh, well, they could have won four, and then last month they lost three. No, they won the Premier League, which they hadn't done in a long, long time. They, I think, ran out of gas, essentially. I think they got overburdened in the attack. The injuries affected it. The chemistry never quite came together. And Mikel Arteta said, you know what? The best chance for me to win as much as possible is to be more defensive. I don't think that's who he is as a manager. It's not who he was as a player. It's not who he was as part of Pep Guardiola's staff at Manchester City. It's not who Arsenal was, honestly, for the majority of his time there. He's pragmatic in all the right ways. He will take what he's got to work with and try to win as much as he can with it. Going into this game, he did not have the horses to run with PSG in a wide open game. Bayern Munich felt like they did, and they didn't quite have enough. They went wide open. I think Arteta saw that, saw his group, and he said, you know what? I can't do that. I've got to go the other way. Yeah, and it was his best chance to win.
Yep.
And it wasn't good enough on the day. And that's okay. PSG is a monster of a team that Luis Enrique has built. I think Arsenal losing to that PSG team, even though PSG in the final last year was more dominant, I think they were a little bit better over the six-month span last year, from really the knockout run of the Champions League through to the Club World Cup final.
Yeah.
That's the best PSG we've seen. They were not quite there consistently this season, but they still did the double again. They won the Ligue 1 title, which was more of a challenge this year, and they repeated as the Champions League winners, only the second time in the Champions League era that that's happened. I give Arsenal all the credit. I give Mikel Arteta all the credit. I think Arsenal will be back in this conversation next year. Absolutely. He will want them to be better in the attack. But Luis Enrique and PSG have built what is looking like a dynasty kind of conversation if he can keep this team together.
I agree with you. I think especially – I was actually curious, I think, especially with PSG's season this year, to see how they would go, because it was a little bit more –
started slow. It started a little slow.
Yeah, it was slow, and you were kind of like, oh, especially after what happened last year, it was a kind of like, what's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
But then it got more consistent. You found more of those moments too, and especially with the Liga title, I mean, it was a battle. It was not close at all, and PSG was able to come out, and they were able to get it done.
They had to fight for it this time in Liga when they didn't in the last season. Yeah. And I think some of that was down to they were fatigued after a long year, a lot of pressure late last year, winning Champions League and then into Club World Cup and not really having much of an offseason. And it showed, and they had injuries, mm-hmm. and it gave other teams a chance. But what they did is just so impressive that they turned it on. And that Bayern series was as good as it gets for 180 minutes.
Yep. And it's why, like, I think especially in this game against Arsenal, going into it, I really was up and down. I didn't really know. I still thought PSG would come out on top, just because I think especially with who they have, with the horsepower, with their trajectory and the way things have gone, I thought PSG were going to come out and they were going to win it. I didn't think it was going to go to penalties. I didn't think it was going to get there.
Once you got about midway through the second half.
Arsenal
was so good defensively.
Yeah, when that happened, absolutely. At the very beginning, I didn't think so. I thought, I think it was going to be not a slam dunk. I think it was going to be a really good game, but I thought PSG were going to come out on top in 90. That's what I thought was going
to happen. Yeah, but that's a credit to Arsenal that they were so good to get the goal and then so good defensively to make it that difficult for a team like PSG. Yeah. I want to kind of end the segment with this quote, and you got to remember Luis Enrique from Spain, literally Spanish, and you lose a little bit in the translation. I'm sure it might have a slightly different meaning in his native tongue, but it was fascinating what he said after the game about one. If you haven't seen the documentary on him from two seasons ago, leading into last season, you have to watch it. It is absolutely must watch. If you enjoy the game, you have to watch it and hear him talk about the game. And he talked in that towards the end, especially about the obsession with controlling games. And that's something we talk about a lot here on AST. We talk about it in Atlanta United context. It's just, it's a conversation about how you control games. And I've kind of had this feeling, and I haven't been able to express it, I think, in the way that Luis Enrique did, where I think the game is going is less control of the game, of the 90 minutes, but more impact in specific moments. And what he said, and this is, again, it's translated into English. He said, what I said at the end of the documentary was my thought at the moment, that I was going to control everything. And the greatness of PSG lies in the fact that I control less and less each time, which has a much deeper meaning than most people will put in the headline tomorrow. Quote, Luis Enrique controls nothing. Quote, correct. Well, that's the greatness. The less I control, the more chances I have that the opponent doesn't know what we're going to do, and the more chances that it takes them longer to adapt. And when they do adapt, .. like, he's then able to adapt to their adaptation. And he said, that's my job as a coach, to try to get out of that zone and stop controlling things so they become unpredictable, because that's the goal we have as a team, to be unpredictable. That's what they're turning into a little bit more. And I think we saw it in the Bayern series. We saw it at times this year. When you have that constant control, the opponent kind of knows how you're going to play. And they can adapt to that, and they can deal with that. And I think in this game, Arsenal adapted to it really well. And PSG couldn't quite find that answer to be unpredictable. And they weren't quite good enough on the day to get past Arsenal in the 90 minutes. It took extra time. It took penalties. PSG did it. Just think about that as we go to break. That whole idea about controlling games and how much control you want, and how much unpredictableness you want in terms of how you approach a match. It's a fascinating conversation. We're going to have it a lot this summer about the World Cup. But coming up next, we're going to bring a little bit of structure to the show. A 3-4-3, a little bit different style. 3-4-3 this summer. It's coming up after the break on 92.9 The Game. And the
when equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love
Odyssey app.
Cover.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Final segment on the radio side of things. If you're listening to us on the radio or the Odyssey app, you'll be able to continue the show over on YouTube on the 92.9 The Game channel. And that's how it's going to go this summer. A lot of times, there will be some shows that the full show will be on the radio in its entirety. There's going to be some shows that aren't at 10 o'clock. It's going to be all over the place. Make sure you're following me at Longshoe, the station at 92.9 The Game, Madison Crew 7, who's riding shotgun tonight. All the different places you'll be able to consume this show. You can always get it in full as a podcast as well at Off the Woodwork, wherever you get your podcasts. But one more segment. We always end with the 3-4-3, a little bit of structure. But the 3-4-3 is going to take on some different shapes this summer. Maybe some different structures is the better way to put it. So tonight, it's three standout players for the U.S. men's national team yesterday, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made us smile. And we'll start with the three standout players for the U.S. And Maddie, I'll ask you about Captain America and how important it was for Christian Pulisic to have a goal and an assist yesterday.
Oh, I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's absolutely huge. I think he was a player when this team, I think, rides really hot and does really well. He's at the focal point of it. I think that's exactly where you want him to be. And I think he even said in a post-game interview, you know, especially getting that goal, it's like, all right, now you can stop talking about it. Now, yes. Now it's focused. Now, yes. Now we know. And I think exactly it's one where I think when we talk about that conversation, I feel like a lot of times we talk about it, it's like the players also know this. They know that this is happening too. Like, they are well aware that the form needs to continue. So getting that moment, it's like, all right, breath of fresh air for me. But also, hey, now we can stop talking about it. Now we can actually get to focusing on this World Cup and getting everything going. But getting to see him, I honestly, too, we're going to talk about the goal, but I thought Christian just had an overall really good performance.
Yeah, he looked explosive.
Yeah, he looked explosive. He was all over the place. I thought even just without the goal, I thought his performance in the game was really, really solid. And it's what you wanted to see, especially before a World Cup.
Yeah, I agree. And I do hope that people stop asking him about it. I mean, look, I get that we're going to talk about it going into the tournament. It'll be something that we'll talk about during the tournament. But when you start the question to somebody with, I know you're tired of talking about this, maybe come up with a different question. Just a wild thought. I don't know. Went through a lot of that last week. Another player who stood out for the U.S. men's national team, Phelarin Balogun. We talked about Ricardo Pepi and how good he was. Balogun could add a hat trick during his time on the field. Did put another one in the back of the net, but was slightly offside. Had a couple of other near misses. Had a couple of big saves late. Phelarin Balogun, to me, is the starting nine for this team. He has been so good, but he's going to have to be good in whatever minutes he gets on Saturday because Ricardo Pepi is nipping at his heels.
I think when we got home from the beach, me and my family, it's me, my brother, and my dad. We're all sitting
there
watching.
You just keep bragging about going to the beach, don't you?
I had to bring it. I'm sorry.
That's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
But we were watching it, and I remember, I think my dad turned to me and just said the same thing. He was like, gosh, Balogun could have been at like 3 or 4 goals already. And,
yeah, but he was good. He wasn't wasteful. He was good.
Oh, he was very, very good. And I think especially in the moments, again, he's another player, I think, especially for the U.S., you want to see him find those moments. You want to see him get those goals. You want to see him hit the back of the net. You want to see him make the runs that he was making and being in those positions. And I think Balogun, his case to be the starting nine, I feel like has already been there. I felt like, especially for me too, I felt like he was the starting number nine for this team no matter what. But I think in the performance yesterday, it solidified it even more. But listen, if Pepe keeps going, I mean, it's a strong case. But also, it's the same conversation we have about the midfielders. It's the same thing, too, where, hey, maybe Pepe is more suited for this match in the World Cup than Balogun is, especially with maybe the way the team is structured and how the other team is going to play and what they give you. And I think that's the beauty of it. If you can have two number nines that can give you two different things, yeah, that's exactly what you want in your arsenal.
I'll take the third one, Alex Freeman, and we talked about it a little bit in the first segment, but I'll reiterate. I just think what he gives this team is so important tactically. Beyond what he does as a soccer player, he's going to win the majority of his aerial duels. He's going to be able to get into the attacking third and be good with the ball at his feet. He's not a typical defender in those situations. He's goal dangerous. He defends very well. He is big and strong and fast. And I mean, he was beating up Sadio Mane for a lot of the game when he had the opportunity to. That's not easy to do. Sadio Mane has made a lot of people look bad in his career. He did get a goal. It wasn't on Alex Freeman in any way. That first goal when Freeman was on the field, second goal, Freeman was off the field. Alex Freeman, to me, is a must start. He's moved into that category. I think there's about six or seven guys to me that are must start, and then you have conversations about who the others are going to be. He's moved into that category. So we'll see if that continues. We'll see what Mauricio Pochettino says this week. We'll see what players say this week as well. We will be down in Fayetteville tomorrow. Make sure you're following us again, Longshoe and Madison Crew 7. Make sure you're following soccer down here. We'll be reporting from Fayetteville, from the Arthur M. Blank U.S. Soccer National Training Center tomorrow morning. All right, four headlines in this 3-4-3. Number one, the rosters were due to FIFA today for the World Cup, but keep this in mind, and this is a really important reminder, because you do have a lot of teams with injury situations right now. You can pull from your preliminary list of 55. You can switch somebody up to 24 hours before your first game if there is an injury. Argentina has Leandro Paredes, who is a conversation about possibly being swapped out. They've brought a couple extra players with them to Kansas City where they're training. We've seen others that we know are going to be out, and we've already seen some moves. We saw it with Scotland with Billy Gilmore out of that group, and now he's been replaced. So, yeah, the rosters are in, but they could still change. Chris Richards is that conversation for the U.S., so just stay tuned. Number two on the headlines, this is about an injury and about a game that's going on right now. Canada, they are going to be missing Marcelo Flores, the Tigres midfielder, who they got eligible not that long ago. It's just awful timing for Flores, who's a really fun player to watch. He had a non-contact injury, an ACL. He said on social media that my ACL is gone. Just awful to see as he gets the opportunity to go to a World Cup taken away from him literally less than 3 weeks before their first game. Now, Canada, at the moment, they are hosting in Edmonton, Uzbekistan, Atlanta's Uzbekistan, the White Wolves of Uzbekistan. Canada with a goal through Jonathan Osorio, leading in the 74th minutes on FS2, 1-0 on a rainy night in Edmonton. Two other games in the headlines. The third headline is Brazil, a 6-2 win over Panama. That sounds great, and it was pretty good. But the first half wasn't all that great. After a whole bunch of subs, Brazil got a bunch of goals in quick succession. Panama scored one off of a free kick that deflected. It was 1-1 for most of the first half. And Panama scored a golazo late, just a swerving goal that got through so many different Brazilian players. Brazil won, but slow your roll a little bit on how good they looked. The other headline is Germany. They looked really good with a 4-0 win over Finland. Again, Finland, that's true, not the best opponent in the world. But Germany comes into the match with the U.S. on Saturday with a good bit of momentum, feeling pretty good about themselves. They're the number 10 team in the world, Maddie. And I think Germany is a team that usually we go into a World Cup saying they're a favorite. I don't think we're saying that right now. And I'm okay with not saying that. I think they're in the second tier. They could be a semifinalist. They could make a surprise run. But to me, coming in, they're not a favorite. It makes Saturday really interesting with the U.S. and Germany.
It does, because I think both teams are riding on momentum. I think especially with this match for the U.S., you get that result over Senegal. I think it's a really good result for them. And I think especially heading this match against Germany, you want to ride on that momentum. Mm-hmm. And I do think when you look at the match, we do talk about Germany, especially when you look at some of the top teams in the world. And I think they are. I think it's kind of been like a teetering, especially with, you know, some off and on moments for Germany. But they are a good side. And I think it's going to be a really good measuring stick, I think, for the U.S. specifically.
Yeah.
Looking ahead and being able to see really where you square up against a team like Germany looking ahead to the World Cup.
Yeah, that's legit. I think the thing about Germany, and it's weird to be looking at them coming into a tournament where, and we've had the same conversation about Italy not making it to the last couple of tournaments. Germany hasn't made it out of the group stage since they won it in 2014. The last two tournaments, they didn't get out of the group stage, which was a shock and had not happened. I don't know if it had happened ever before 2018. Keep an eye on Germany. They're going to be an interesting one, and we'll get a better sense of it on Saturday. Again, AST on Saturday will be noon to 2:15, live from Nofo Bruco in Gainesville. Myself and John Nelson will be talking. We will have a special guest calling in from Soldier Field. That would be Madison Cruz, yes. That would be you. It's you from Soldier Field, the spaceship built around a historic stadium. It's weird. It's a weird place. You'll get to see it firsthand. But it's a famous venue. It's a big game. It's a big opportunity. Noon to 2:15 AST. Then the game you'll be able to listen to here on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app with Callum Williams and with Kobe Jones. And then we will be back the next night. I will be back. You will not. You will still be in Chicago. I will be back the next night from 9 to 11 on Sunday. Usually AST is going to be at 10 o'clock. It will bounce around on the schedule just a little bit as the summer goes on. But you guys know how we end the radio portion of the show by now. 3-4-3, the final three things that have made us smile over the last, in this case, it's going to be over the last couple of days. And it's going to be like that for the rest of this tournament. Hopefully there's going to be a lot of things that make us smile during this World Cup. I'll take number one, the World Cup ticket lottery that New York City was able to pull off. And this was not easy to do. Ticket prices are dropping, by the way. The conversation about the ticket prices being crazy high, it was everywhere, and I totally get it. Again, people were asking Tim Weah, trying to get him in trouble, asking him about it last week. The ticket prices were too high to start with. The dynamic pricing is starting to catch up a little bit, and I'm seeing tickets that I think were $1,500 at one point are now $400. That's still a lot. New York City did a really cool thing where they have $50 World Cup tickets, 1,000 of them, not a lot, but that's what they could pull off, at $50 a piece. It is a 6-day lottery. A maximum of 50,000 people can enter per day starting at 10 a.m. Once the lottery hits that mark, it closes until the next day. It took just 3 minutes for that to happen on day one. You can't enter more than once per day. So it's the 5 group stage matches and the 2 knockout round matches. No, you can't get $50 tickets to the World Cup final. But it's still really, really cool. So props to New York City for pulling that off. Number two, and I'll get your take on it. I thought this was very cool. It was something I noticed live. Marquinhos, the captain for PSG, the great center back, headed to the World Cup with Brazil, had to watch his opponent on Saturday, Gabriel for Arsenal, miss a penalty. Now, after that game went final, immediately afterwards, Gabriel is Marquinhos' teammate on the Brazilian national team. And before he went to celebrate with his team, Marquinhos went to Gabriel to console him.
Marquinhos has slowly become one of, I think, my favorite players to watch.
Yeah, same.
Not only, I think, for what he does on the field, but his off the field and what he does there, too. And this is one of those moments. I mean, he said to reporters afterwards, I mean, he got a little bit of, you know, deja vu, especially, you know, being at that penalty spot back when he was with Brazil. And he, and that penalty, they knocked him out against Croatia in 2022 in Qatar. You know, you have that moment. It's that same experience of having this moment, and it's a difficult moment, but you know, he felt like he had the responsibility to go up and, you know, give his brother a moment, just say, hey, like it's okay. And it's not your, like, it's all right. And just have that moment with him. And I felt like it was just so incredible, especially from the 32 year old. I love watching him play. And you know, he's a player I've just enjoyed so much, especially on and off the field.
He's a great leader. And it shows in that moment where he's thinking bigger picture. Number three on things that made us smile, the Kansas City Current with an awesome program in Kansas City, a free soccer league this summer for 120 kids ages 8 to 10. No registration fees, no equipment costs, no barriers to entry. every participant gets a jersey, cleats, shin guard, and two soccer balls. It's July 11th through August 29th. It's part of their World Cup celebration in Kansas City. Awesome program. Hope to see more programs like this all over the country. Hope some of you guys who are listening on the radio and on the Odyssey app can make the way over to YouTube and join us. If you can't, you can catch it as a podcast. You can watch on demand on YouTube. But that will do it for this edition of AST on the radio. We'll be back with you on the radio tomorrow at 10 o'clock. But for now, we will continue the show with a little bit of stoppage time over on YouTube. Thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight. Adios, everybody on the radio. See y'all on YouTube.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.